We begin this morning, as we look at this subject of the church, with the uniqueness and importance of the church in the world. And I want to emphasize, as we launch into this series and during this little series, the church as the unique and special dwelling place of God in the world. There is little doubt that the Spirit of God is everywhere, but I want to emphasize the fact that the church is the unique and special dwelling place of God in the world, as it is the temple of the living God. And so we look at the church, as the title gives it, in several points: the church visible, vital, varied, visionary, and vocal. These. Several these in that fashion. There could be others that could be added. The next step would be to look at the church and the work of the Spirit. And I want to zero in on the subject of the church as the temple and special dwelling place of God. And if that's the case, it's important that we participate in the activities of the visible church and use the means of grace available to us in the church. And so I want to talk a little bit about the church and using the means of grace. Then, if the church is indeed the special dwelling place of God in the world, it's important that we encourage others, not only ourselves, but we encourage others to be a part of the church. And so I want to talk about the visible church and evangelism. It's interesting that the Confession of Faith tells us that outside of the church, there is no ordinary means of salvation. I don't know as we take that seriously, and that's the Westminster Confession of Faith that says that. And the Confession is talking about the visible church and the power of the gospel as the gospel is proclaimed in the visible church. And so it's important that we understand that. And so we're going to be talking about the church and evangelism. And if the church is the special dwelling place of God in the Spirit, it's important that we not only participate in the activities of the church and the means of grace as they are presented to us in the church and understand the importance of evangelism in the church, but we dare not lift up our heels against the visible church. And so I want to talk about the church and what is known as the unpardonable sin, finally. These are some of the things that we'll talk about in relationship with the Church of Jesus Christ. Today we set the stage, I hope, as we look at the visible, vital, varied, visionary, vocal Church of Jesus Christ. These several heads, if you will. And so the first point in our outline is simple. The Church of Jesus Christ is a very visible body. And I think this is important, because sometimes the church is viewed by people as some kind of ethereal, immaterial, invisible body that really cannot be touched or felt or seen. Now, I will admit and confess that there are invisible aspects to the church. For example, the Church of Jesus Christ is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we cannot infallibly see into the hearts of individuals who are a part of the great and glorious body of Christ. I can't look into your heart and you can't look into my heart. You can't tell if I'm actually and infallibly born again, can you? You can't look into my heart and be absolutely sure. You know, I know pastors of Reformed churches that were converted in their pulpits after they were ordained. It's an amazing thing. And I know people that were converted to faith in Christ after they made public professions of faith in Christ in various churches. So there's an invisible aspect to the church. We cannot look into the hearts of individuals to see infallibly, that is, whether or not they are born again. And the church has an invisible aspect in that part of it is in heaven today. Part of the church cannot be seen by us because there are people in heaven. Thank God that that's the case. And our hope is that we who make a profession of faith in Christ will join those people who are presently in heaven. Thank God that we are on the fringes of heaven today, and we are worshiping with myriads of those who are closer to the throne than we are. But we are with them. We are one with them. We are one great and glorious body. We cannot see them. You know, folks, they can see us. I really believe that's the case. And they look and they watch to see the things that are happening as the plans and purposes of God are unfolding in the church of God. So there are invisible aspects to the church. But look at the very beginning of Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 1, 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus, who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. A real man, the Apostle Paul, is writing a real letter to real people. That's what Ephesians is about. And that's important for us to grasp. Real people received this letter. And this letter was sent to them in the city of Ephesus. You know, that's an amazing thing for us to contemplate. Those people gathered for worship, and this letter was read to them. We're not talking about some invisible entity here. We're talking about a real group of people. And these people were in a real situation. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, for example, and verse 22. The very first word of chapter 5 and verse 22, wives. You don't have to go any further. To whom was this letter written? Well, it was written to people who were married. Some of them were wives. Some of you are wives. People that could be seen. Look down to verse 25, the very first verse, first word. Husbands. You don't have to go any further, do you? Here Paul was talking to married people. Real people like you and me. Not some mystical body that could not be seen, but a very visible, vital body. Look at chapter 1, or chapter 6 and verse 1. The very first word, children. Well, we just have a few children here this morning because most of our young people are away on a trip. But to whom is this letter written? Children, real children in real families. Verse 20, chapter 6, verse 1 and then verse 5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters. Here were people who were slaves in those days. We could talk about it in these terms. People who work. How many of you work for a living? You could raise your hand. Yes, I do. It's those kind of people that Paul was talking about. Real people. A visible, vital body of people. And so the church is a visible, very visible body. The church is a visible body which is vitalized by resurrection power. Look at chapter 2 in Ephesians. Chapter 2 in verses 2 and following. Well, we should read the first verse too. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Here are people, real people like you and me, who are what? Made alive again. How wonderful it is. But God, verse 4, being rich in mercy because of his great love
with which He loved us made us alive again. That's people like you and me.
You remember the parable of the prodigal son? And how the father
looked down the road and he saw his son coming. And he ran and he embraced that son.
And the elder son came and he was a little bit upset with dad because dad was so happy to receive back that son of his. And the father says, "Rejoice with me." Why? Because this son of mine that was dead is alive again. How wonderful that is.
That word "alive again" is a very interesting word because it's the very same word that's used in Revelation chapter 20, where the apostle John sees those who are raised up again, made alive, and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And he says that's the first resurrection. And he calls that being made alive a resurrection. That's what happens to us, folks. That's what the church is about. It's a group of people who are very visible to the world, who have been made alive again. They've been vitalized by the Holy Spirit of God. The church is a visible body, vitalized with varied gifts of the Spirit. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7. Chapter 4 and verse 7. "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." You see, the Apostle Paul here is speaking to real people, moms and dads and children, who have been born again. And he says to them, to each one of us, and he includes himself in this mix, to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. He says, to each believer a measure of grace was given. You know, I'm kind of fascinated by what Paul has to say here, because there's a sense in which Paul is saying, you know, we're all different sized vessels. And he's not talking about our physical appearance when he has this in mind. We could talk about it that way, but I don't think that's what he has in mind. Spiritually speaking, we're all different sized vessels. And each one of us, when we're half full, for example, half full of the Holy Spirit, there's a different measure of the Spirit that's within each one of us because we're all different in capacity, you see. And this is what Paul is talking about. To each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Because we're all different vessels and have different capacities, a different measure of grace is given to us. And that's a wonderful thing. Because as the grace of God is varied within the visible church, so the gifts within the church are varied. And as varied as the grace of God is, so varied are the gifts of God. We're a small company this morning. But you know, every one of us has received a measure of the grace of God. Each one of you have. And each one of you has a different gift by the grace of God. And I think that's wonderful. That means that the church, the visible church, is a varied body containing many different gifts as God has given those gifts. And you know what else happens in that mix? Every congregation is different. Every congregation has a different personality, a different temperament, a different set of gifts. And that's true as far as denominations are concerned, as we look at the visible body of Christ. Denominations differ. Denominations have different personalities. Denominations vary according to the measure of the gifts of grace which God gives. How good that is.
You know what God is in the business of building a beautiful mosaic as far as the church of Jesus Christ is concerned. God is not in the business of popping each one of us into a mold and then opening the mold so that a bunch of clones come out, so that everybody is alike, and so that every church is alike, and so that every denomination is alike. That's not how God is operating. And I think that's fantastic. The church is a visible, vital, varied body. And something else that happens in that mix is very interesting as far as I'm concerned. Because every church has different gifts. Every church can go in a different direction in the kingdom of God. We need to play to our strengths. We shouldn't force people into molds, but we should utilize the gifts and the talents that God gives. And we have gifts and talents that differ from other congregations. And we should play to those strengths and utilize those strengths as God has been pleased to give them to us. And so the church is this visible, vitalized, varied body. But the church is not only a visible and varied body which is vitalized by the Holy Spirit. The church is also a body visible which has been given vision by God. Vision by God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. We read part of this. And I'd like to read it again. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul prays, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge." What is Paul praying for? Paul is praying that the people of God in the church at Ephesus and each of us who are here this morning might have a vision for the height and depth and length and breadth of the glory of God, that we might know the glories of the love of Christ. Look at that text again. "That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth." You know, when I read that verse, I asked myself a question. And the question was this: where are all the saints? Where are all the saints? I thought to myself, you know, some of the saints are here in Sterling, Kansas. And some of the saints are on the other side of the world. Then I thought to myself, you know, a lot of the saints have gone before us, and they're in heaven. How many of the saints are in heaven, proportionally? How many do you suppose? When you think of the whole church of Jesus Christ, and you think of all the people who have lived on the earth from Adam and Eve up to the present, all those Old Testament saints who believed the promises of God and trusted in the Savior who was to come, and all those people in the New Testament era throughout the world who believed in Jesus Christ through the preaching of the apostles, down through the decades and centuries. You know, there's a lot of people who have preceded us. And I even wonder, folks, if the majority of the saints aren't actually in heaven. And it's a minority of the saints that are on earth today. I don't know if that's the case or not. I don't know if there's a way that we can even tell. But I know this, that those words, "all the saints," encompass those of us who are in the world today, and they include all of those people who are in heaven.
And Paul is praying that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints, some of them in heaven, the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of Christ. And I know this, that those people in heaven today know far better the love of Christ than we do. Paul is praying that we'll get a hold of that vision, that we'll begin to see it a little bit more clearly. I'm reminded of the book of Revelation in this context, and how the throne of God is portrayed as sitting on a crystal sea, and there's a rainbow around that crystal sea. And there are four living creatures, angels of God, and 24 elders. And there are around those elders myriads of angels. And then in another circle there are tens of thousands of saints in white robes singing praise to God. And then around that throne further out, we are there. We are there. We are on the periphery of heaven, even presently, giving praise to God. And Paul is praying that with all the saints we may comprehend the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of Christ. What a vision God gives to His church. You see, we are a visible people in the world, vitalized by the Holy Spirit, given a vision of God through the Scriptures and through the awakening of the Holy Spirit of the living God. What a thing it is, the Church of Jesus Christ. And so, this visible, vital, varied, visionary body is vocal. Vocal. Reaching in and reaching out. Look at a couple of other texts in Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." But speaking the truth in love, what's to happen in the visible church? We are to speak the truth in love to one another. We are to encourage one another in love and good deeds. We are to work together as a part of that great and glorious visible body. When we become, in a formal way, members of this congregation, we say that we take seriously our obligation to work with one another in the visible body of Jesus Christ. And look at what Paul is saying. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. And so we work together and we speak to one another in love. We reach into the church of Jesus Christ to speak the truth. This is one of the reasons I'm excited about our ministry with Westminster Evangelistic Ministries. This is one of our tasks, to reach into the church and speak the truth in love. But then there's also that verbal aspect, that vocal aspect of speaking out for Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Ephesians 5. It's actually 6:19, I'm sorry. Ephesians 6:19. Paul says, pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, pray. Pray, folks. Pray that strength might be given, that the proclamation of the gospel might go out boldly in all of the earth. Pray for me that I might proclaim boldly the gospel of Jesus Christ. This visible church is to be vocal, reaching into itself to speak the truth in love and reaching out into the world with a bold proclamation of the gospel. You know, and I frankly appeal to you folks. Pray for your pastor. Pray for me. In the words of the Apostle Paul, pray for me. Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Pray that that would be the case. Let's pray in our church that that would be the case. And pray for one another that that would be the case. Pray for the elders of the church that that would be the case. Pray for one another that this indeed would be the case. You know, folks, as I've gotten into this a little bit, you know me, some at least, I tend to get a little excited. And I'm excited about this because the Church of Jesus Christ really is a visible, vital, varied, visionary, vocal body. It really is. And we're privileged to be a part of it. And my prayer is, and I'm asking you this morning, that you would pray. That you would pray that God would give us grace to be more visible in our community. Or to be a visible body. Pray that God would cause us to be more visible. Pray that God would give us grace through His Spirit. That we would be a vital, vibrant body. Pray that that would be the case. Pray that God would pour out His Spirit upon us and give us varied gifts that could be used to His glory. Pray that God will give us great vision for the Church of Jesus Christ, this visible body. That God would give us a vision for this church. That God would give us a vision for this community and what God wants to do. Pray that God would make us a visionary and vocal body to the glory of Jesus Christ. We have a tremendous privilege. Pray that we might fulfill what God lays before us as a visible, vital, varied, visionary, vocal church. Let's pray together. Father, I'm thankful for the possibilities here. I'm thankful for what You're making us. I'm thankful, O Lord, that we really are at the gateway to heaven. On the peripheries of that great assembly gathered around the throne. Oh God, help us to understand that as part of the great visible body of Christ in this world, that's where we stand. Do make of us, O God, this visionary, vital body with varied gifts. Make us more visible in our community. And make us, O God, more vocal, I pray, to Your glory and to Your honor. Amen.